We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
We're going to continue our seashore stories today. Would you flip with me to John 9? Today's going to be called the Pool of Siloam. The Pool of Siloam. For those that don't know, we've been following stories all around the Bible that have been ending up on riverbanks, along seashores, along pools, anywhere where there's water. We're just going and seeing what principles we can learn by the water. Is that good? Church, are you with me? I didn't just put you to sleep with a video, did I? Julie told me the other day, she goes, Chad, maybe they don't respond much because there's a lot of introverts in our church. We're just ultra laid back, I hear. Come on. If it's good, let me know. John 9, 1 through 12. Let's read this together. It says, as he went along, talking about Jesus, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told. That's gross, isn't it? Let's just be honest. I mean, people are like, he went there. Oh, I went there. After saying this, he spit on the ground. You read that. He said, go. He told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. Say sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Amen. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went, say went, and washed. And then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. This is one of those stories that really gets me. Why did God spit in the mud? Why did he make a mud pie? Why did he do this? I mean, I know as a kid I used to make mud pies. Me and my friend Chris. Chris isn't here because they actually, our church grew this week. I don't know if you knew. Chris and Jesslyn just had Harley Ray Geary. Someone goes, well, when I had a baby, you didn't say that. Well, he texted me this morning right before I came into church, so sorry. But the point is, I'm excited about that. But me and Chris used to make mud pies. We'd mix all the mud, and we'd serve them to the presidents. We were young. You understand. And so Lincoln would always come to my table, just so you're aware. But I used to think as a kid, like, why did God do that? I don't understand. What was the power in that? And I think there's power in it, not even so much in the mud, but in the process. You hear me? And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the process that we see in this, because I want you to understand that sometimes God wants to take us through a process. Say process. None of us like the word process because we want instant. None of us like the word process because we want now. None of us like the idea of process because that means work. Anybody? But sometimes Jesus is trying to teach us through the process. Amen. And so the first thing that jumps out to me, and you're going to have to understand, I got to preach fast because I did some other things this morning that weren't expected. Amen? Okay. Number one, very elementary here. Not everything sad is because of bad. Not everything sad is because of bad. The Bible says, he said, Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents? Why is he blind? And Jesus said, it's not because of sin. This isn't because of sin. It says in verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. This is something that's reassuring to me. And I got to tell you, I hope you see this too. Because sometimes we assume the thing we're dealing with is because of sin. Rather than a God opportunity. I saw this and I thought, man, God, this doesn't seem fair to that guy. He's been sitting there blind for how long? He's been sitting there, blind and begging for how long? And it's not because of sin, so to speak. And although we could all say, well, actually, everything bad in this world came from the first sin. Yes, we get that, right? But what he's saying is this isn't cause and effect because of a specific sin he or his parents did. This was actually a moment that was going to come to this point where God would display something amazing. And you know what I would like to bring up to the point here is sometimes we feel like, well, God, that thing in my life, it's been handicapping me for so long and I assumed it was because of sin, but not everything sad is because of bad. Sometimes it's just so that God can do a miracle in your world so he can get the glory again. Hello? It said so that the glory would be displayed, so that it would be a power that's displayed. I started to think of every problem I deal with now, and I go, God, wait, what are you trying to do through this? What could this do for you? Because I'll tell you, this man who sat begging, you could argue that he had zero influence up to this point in his life because of this hindrance, because of this issue. But the minute that Jesus showed up and did something, the minute it became God's display, he had more influence than he could have ever had without God involved. I think that deserved better than that. He had more influence than he could have ever had without God involved. So I think rather than us cursing our problems in the world, rather than us cursing the struggles that we deal with, rather than us always being frustrated with what we don't think is fair, maybe we should say, God, if you showed up the way you want to show up and this turned for you, what could I display for your sake? Because if I could make it about you instead of about me, then I can see the way you want me to see. Are you with me, church? Not everything sad is because of bad. It's our tendency to assume if something bad happens, it's because that person must have deserved it. Isn't it easy to think that? Well, Chad, sowing and reaping, cause and effect. That person must have had a really, really bad life prior to this, and that's why it's happening. I believe there are people up here that we prayed for this morning. I believe there are people that it's not because of sin. There are things that have happened in their life. But man, what could it be like if God had the glory for it? What could be displayed from this? What testimony could come from this when God shows up and the miraculous happens? Amen? The reality is God is always looking to create a plot twist that will bring him glory. I tell you guys all the time, the best stories are the ones with the biggest plot twists. The best stories are the one where you feel like the underdog has no chance, but yet something happens. The narrative changes, and all of a sudden, there's an amazing twist, and that's what God is. He's in the business of doing that. And look, God can't be our Jehovah Jireh. He can't be our provider if we have no lack. God can't be our strong tower if we don't have weak moments. Are you with me? God can't be our healer if we do not need healing. Are you following me? This scripture tells me that sometimes things come upon us so that God's glory can be seen in our day-to-day, in our world. You know what, God? I'm not going to be frustrated any longer about the things that don't seem to be going my way. I'm going to look at them as opportunities for which you can make them be a glory to you. Yeah? Number two, our earthly problems are an invitation for heaven to move. We've just got to, it's just about shifting the lens. It's just about looking at things a little bit differently. It's just about seeing things a little bit differently. Oh my goodness, hello Gills. Sorry. I just saw some friends from, a brother from another mother. Sorry, church. Our earthly problems are an invitation for heaven to move. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so the work of God might be displayed in him. So whether the issue you're dealing with in your life wasn't your fault like this man, or when you brought it on yourself like Jonah did, our problem can be an opportunity to allow God to be our provider. Remember, Jonah brought it on himself. He chased his Tarshish instead of his Nineveh. And he brought the problem on himself, but yet even the problem, even the wail of the problem was God's provision. Come on, that's still preaching. I preached in Africa last week. I can't tell you. Sometimes people say, Chad, isn't it easier to send money? Yes, we send money. But listen, church, we're called to go and to send. You may not be a goer, you may be a sender, but there are people in this world that God has called to go. And you can either be a goer or you can be a sender, but you can't not be either. Did you hear me? If we are truly doing the commission of Jesus, we either go or we send. We can do both, but we can't do neither. So our earthly problems are an invitation for heaven to move. So rather than curse your problem, talk to God about his solution. Amen? I'm still moving. Number three, our work is to share Jesus with the world. You say, no, Chad, my work is a doctor. No, Chad, my work is a teacher. My job is this. My job is that. No, can I help you shift your purpose in life? You have the skills and the talents to do the very thing that you do, right? And we know that those skills and talents were given by God. The reality is, what we do as a living, it provides us that which we need to actually live. And I believe we're called, all of us, the way Jesus called us to the Great Commission, that is our true calling on this earth. It's not just the pastor's job. In fact, if we all did our job, if we all took it on ourselves to actually go, therefore, unto the world, if we actually talked to people about what God is doing, I believe we would see this fast forwarding of purpose in our life. I believe other things would unlock. The minute we started to see what we do as the purpose of how we live, I'm not just a pastor. That's not just what I do. I'm actually a saint called to the world to help everybody understand this thing in the pulpit is not just who I am. This is a means even for my family to help do the things that God has called us to do. But don't be defined by your occupation. Understand your occupation is creating your ability to actually live the life God called you to. Do you hear that? Amen. So our work is to share Jesus with the world. It says in verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. So you may be thinking, I thought it was saying that we should show his power as he was just about to do that moment. That's true, but actually we need to understand that our work is to actually bring about Jesus in every situation. What Jesus showed us that day was to love on those everyone else passed by. Did you notice that? No one else could give this man what he needed. They just gave him what he thought he needed. They would toss him a coin here or there. They would try and pick up a meal here or there. They would have pity on him. They would pay almsgiving. Giving down is almsgiving. Giving up is honor giving. Hello? See, we give to those needing with alms. We give to God who needs nothing in honor. Did you get that? So I'm telling you, what Jesus showed us that day is to share with others what everyone else needs. We are to deliver God's answer to a hurting world. And what's God's answer to a hurting world? Jesus. We are to pray for people and believe God's word will free them and release them from earth's sorrows. To work while it is day is to be like Jesus through our words and deeds. Sharing Jesus in any situation is the answer to every need. You say, I don't see how it correlates. I promise you. The answers that people need, it's not just the salvation. Hello, that's the starting point. But it's the peace. It's the peace in the chaos. It's the direction in the storm. It's the anchor while in the storm. We are called to bring Jesus wherever we go. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. That's what Jesus said in verse 5. And as the world gets darker and darker, the answer becomes more clear and more clear that it's Jesus this world needs. It was interesting. When I went last week to Zimbabwe, we had people on the ground, you know, telling us, hey, everything, I don't know if you know, but there was an election 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in Zimbabwe, and they were hoping for the new guy, because basically the dictator fell, and they were hoping the second in command wouldn't become the president, and the new guy would, so that they could change things around. And it didn't happen that way. The second in command ended up winning, and there was all this stuff, and apparently there was about 40 people killed in the city of Harare within the week after that on protests, and it was insane. And when I showed up, first of all, I showed up because I felt God was telling me to go. Secondly, I showed up because they said things were better. And when I got there, one of the young people said, "I'm so glad you came. I'm surprised you came." And I said, "Why would you say that?" And they said, "Well, just kind of the tensions." And I said, I turned to the other pastor. I said, You said it was fine, you know. But the reality was, as the world continues to get darker and darker, the only answer is Jesus. And when we say yes to Jesus, we say yes to all of his plans, not just the ones that seemed fun. Church, we got to be a people that aren't ashamed of the name of Jesus. We've got to be a church that's willing to talk about Jesus beyond our shortcomings and failures. Look, you're not perfect, so don't act like it. When people stop acting perfect, people will accept some of their failing as long as they're trying. Amen? People will accept the fact that humanity is fallen and that we're not perfect. But when we try and act perfect, no one wants to hear about Jesus. But when we act normal and act redeemed, like we don't deserve it, but Jesus gave it freely, they're willing to listen to the same thing because they realize if he's not perfect, maybe this is for me too. Did you get that, church? Number four, obedience can unlock the miracle you are hoping for. Obedience. Remember when I said sent? The word Salome, where Jesus was sending him, was literally sent. It says this, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Salome. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Look, Jesus touched the man with the DNA from heaven. Do you understand that? When Jesus spits, it's the DNA from heaven. He is all man, but he is all God. He dealt with every problem, yet he could overcome them. He is the one that the blood was sinless so that it could cover my sins. When Jesus, it's interesting to me, because when Jesus spit on the ground, it was DNA from heaven, and at the touch, it could have instantly healed him. But Jesus asked him to also put feet on his faith by following his word. How many times do we see the woman, just if she could just touch the hem of the garment, she would be healed, yes? If somebody could just get to Jesus, if Jesus could just say the words, it would happen, yes? So why on earth, when Jesus literally spits and he literally makes mud and it's his DNA and he physically touches the man, why didn't it unlock? Because he's trying to teach his process. People come up here and they get prayed for, and we say yes and amen because we understand that there's an open heaven where we live. We understand that when we use the name of Jesus, we have access to something others may not. Hello? But we stand here and we have, the Bible says that they should be anointed with oil and you should pray for them. And so they come up here like we did today and we pray for people and they say yes and amen. And we say yes and amen. And some people walk away and know what happens? There's a process to walking out your faith. Somebody sitting in the seat right now doesn't feel any different. Well, are you going to continue to believe it's healed or not? What's the next thing Jesus said? Come on. There's a process to unlock some miracles. Some are instant, and some God's trying to teach us something. And so Jesus touched him with his own hands. Jesus touched him with his own DNA, yet the man wasn't instantly healed. Why? Process. Are you still with me? This is very interesting to me. This is very interesting to me because I think we as a people don't like process, but yet God is showing us there is a process for the thing you're believing for sometimes. He's trying to teach us that our miracles are attached to our obedience. Some wouldn't say, or some would say, wait a minute, Chad, isn't that putting us back into the law and deeds of the Old Testament? I'm not saying it like God won't bail us out in our time of need. I'm saying I have scriptural backing that we can hinder an open heaven over our life by not fully listening to what God has said. That's what I'm trying to say. God, I never want to be the reason that the open heaven is disconnected. I never want to be a weasen. I never want to be the reason that things that you have said yes and amen to, because I don't finish following your steps, I don't actually have access to. The man was touched by Jesus. I just almost went youth pastor with the rest of that. I'm a pull back for everyone's sake. What would have happened if the blind man had thought, nothing is going to happen, so instead I'll just wipe the gross mud off my face? What would have happened if he thought, actually, the river is closer than the Pool of Siloam? Surely that will do just as well. What would have happened if he made a decision to make a shortcut, assuming because he was touched by God, it would all be the same? America, what would happen when we choose to do things our way rather than the thing God said? America, what happens when we choose to do the thing that we think is politically correct rather than the words of heaven? What would happen when we're praying for blessing over our family, yet we don't live the words of God in our households? What would happen if we know that God's called us to lead one way, but yet we choose to do something else because, after all, we are still highly favored because of grace? Could it be that we don't unlock the greater potential of blessing because we choose not to live in true obedience? But Chad, I was in church. Amen. But Chad, I believed and I went to the altar. Amen. But Chad, I did this. Amen. What are we not doing is what I'm asking. Not what are you doing? Let's shift, because what happens is we feel like the we feel like the dog that tore up the pillow in the house, but because we didn't go to the bathroom while the person was gone, we still feel like we're good. I'm still good. I'm still a good puppy. Yeah, I screwed a whole bunch of stuff up in the house, but I did not poop. Ha! I don't know where that came from. You don't want to live in my head. So where was the power? That's my question. Let's look back at verse 7. Go, he told them, wash in the Pool of Siloam. What does the word mean? It means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. The power, come on, you see where I'm going with this? The fullness of his power was released in the faith to go where Jesus sent him and to do what he told him. It was released. It was unlocked. It was the obedience. The fullness of God's power will be released over you when you have the faith to go where Jesus sent you and to do what he told you to do. Amen? Wow, that was like sporadic. Like, amen. Jesus has the power to release the thing you need over your life if you're willing to do the very thing he sent you to do. It says that the Pool of Siloam was literally sent. He touched him. Jesus, you have touched my life, but where are you sending me? My direct connection, my opportunity for the fullness of your power is in me being went where you sent. The miracle was in the process. It was in the full obedience. A touch from heaven should lead you to fulfill a full obedience. Many people are busy trying to manufacture their own miracle. They haven't noticed that God has a place called sent. When we choose to hear what God is trying to tell us in our everyday life and choose to go where they have been sent, they receive the blessing and the power that comes with that obedience. I believe many Christians are walking around stuck in the middle of the process. They've heard God say something. They've heard that God's going to break something over their life, that something's going to give, but instead of fighting the things they know God sent them to do, or finishing the things that they know God sent them to do, they're sitting around eagerly awaiting the promise while still having mud in their eyes. I'm not sure what God has been calling you to, but maybe it's going to begin to open in your workplace. Maybe it's going to be you starting to talk about Jesus more openly, not being ashamed, not having to whisper your faith. When's the last time you spoke unashamedly in the name of Jesus? When's the last time you actually took that bold step and invited somebody to the very place that is unlocking a future for you? When's the last time you chose to be bold about what God is doing? You know, maybe it's to begin giving back to your community and showing the love of Jesus. Maybe it's to actually plant yourself in the local church by grabbing hold of the vision and choosing to serve and give. I don't know what your scent is, but God sends us all. I don't know where your Siloam is, but God has a plan for your life, and it's not just for you to come to know Jesus and sit and wait. The very thing that you're waiting for, the very thing that you're believing for, is going to be on the back of where he sends you. You're believing and praying for your young person. You're believing and praying for your teenager. Yet there are things Jesus has sent you to, and you're not doing it yet yourself. And all you're showing is that God will have mercy on a lack of obedience. And so they have a lack of obedience and still believe God will have mercy. Well, Chad, my kids come to church. Yeah, when's the last time you had them stand up and worship? Because whatever you tolerate will dominate in their life. Well, Chad, they sit in here during worship. Well, when's the last time you parent them to understand what worship actually is? It's not observing a band. It's giving glory to God. Just having them in the house of God is not enough. Having the word in their hearts is what's enough. And you've got to go beyond the things that you think is okay. And man, I'll tell you, when everyone else sits, I'll stand for you, Jesus. When everyone shuts up, I'll speak for you, Jesus. When no one will lay hands on, I'll pray with you in the name of Jesus. I will do the thing that does not seem trendy. I will do the thing that does not seem cool because I understand that I am sent. Oh, man. Be faithful to your Siloam. Be faithful to where you were sent. A touch from heaven should lead you to full obedience. The miracle was in the process. It was in the full obedience. You ready for number five? Because I'm running out of time. God's power is designed for display. When was the last time God's works were displayed in my life? That's a question you need to ask yourself. God, when was the last time your works were displayed? When was the last time I displayed the thing that you were doing in my life? Because all of your blessings come on my heart. All of your blessings come on my life. But it's supposed to be a life of overflow where everyone can see what you're doing. And I'm not saying you need to be trying to show off materials that God gave you. I'm talking about the spirit that overflows, the blessing that overflows, the joy that overflows, the peace that overflows. It says in verse 3, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. How can I better display what God has done for me? Verse 10 and 11, it says, how then were your eyes opened, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. I believe when he came home from that water seeing, he had to go through the hoops of people are going to ask how. And am I ready and willing to be mocked at, to be laughed at, to potentially be spat upon? Or am I going to just give glory to the fact that God already spat upon me? Am I going to just be willing to be bold about what God is doing in my life? Him being honest didn't keep him from ridicule. In fact, if you read the rest of this chapter, he was mocked by the Pharisees. And he ended up having to tell them, I don't know what to tell you. I've already told you the truth. See, in our world, we've got to decide if the thing that God is doing in our life is going to be displayed or if we're going to keep it secret and act like God's okay with that, because he never is. You're living a lie in your own mind, thinking that if you just keep your mouth shut, God's going to be okay with you because he understands how you're an introvert. God made me that way after all. Understand, full obedience unlocks the next thing. We've got to understand people. I know this is a challenging word, but it's to help you understand that time is slipping away. Could it be that what God chooses to do for us, he intends to be a conversation starter for your neighbor that doesn't yet know him? When's the last time you saw the very thing you've been praying for as an answer? When's the last time you saw that as the open door to talk to someone else about Jesus? God is a jealous God. Some think that's a bad thing, but actually it is not. He is the only one that can be jealous truly. None of us have ever been created without him. None of us have ever created anything from nothing like him. He has the whole universe in his hand, and he deserves all the credits. Does anyone have a problem with that? Next time you see God bless you, answer your prayer. He blesses you by answering your prayer or surprises you with unmerited favor. Choose to tell someone about it, especially those far from him. It's easy to go to your small group and talk to everyone that believes the same thing you believe. But what is that? Who's that reaching? Yeah, it may sharpen someone else's faith. That's a good thing, right? It may get them to be able to stand and believe for something that they didn't once believe for. That's a good thing, right? But God's called us all to be fishers of men. He's called us all to be going after the lost sheep. We've got to be willing to leave the 99 for the one, just as Jesus did for us. Amen? What I've noticed in life is those who have received a blessing from God, those that were not willing to give God the glory, did not receive the double portion or continued blessing. Makes me think of the story where Jesus healed the 10 lepers and only one came back to thank him. The way Jesus sent that one off with the blessing, the way that Jesus sent that one off, I believe that there was a greater blessing in that man's life because he was willing to give credit where credit was due. He was willing to open his mouth when no one else was. Number six, as I close, as the keys come back. But before number six, I'll give you that in a minute. Apparently, there's another scripture I was supposed to tell you. 25, he was talking to the Pharisees, and they were mocking him. And he ended up saying, whether he is a sinner or not, talking about Jesus, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. See, I'm okay with people saying whatever they want because I was blind, but now I see. I'm okay with the ridicule. I'm okay with the mocking. I'm okay with what the world thinks is crazy. I'm okay with them thinking of me as crazy because I was blind, but now I see. And as long as we're focused on what God has done for us, I'm willing to take any ridicule for his name. I'm willing to be bold for the sake of what Jesus has done for me. Amen? Number six, the effects of Jesus should bring attention on Jesus. What God has done in your world, you say, Chad, you've said this 8 times a different way. Well, I want you to get it. God's power should get people asking about Jesus. Where is this man, they said in verse 12. Where is this man? They wanted to know if this was the access point, if this was the source, if this man truly did this, where can I find him? And I truly believe if we displayed the things properly, not arrogantly, not unbecomingly, not out of boast and pride, if we displayed what Jesus is doing in our life in a way that is just to show the glory of God for who he is, I believe people are going to say, wait a minute, if this actually was your source, where can I find him? And when I talk to people about Jesus, half the time I'm surprised at how open they are to hear. Why? Because they see something different at me because I'm not trying to hide it. If God is moving in your life and no one is asking about Jesus, have you properly put him on display? The man who had nothing to lose was honest about his source and was able to share the answer to the people's problems. Why? Because he had nothing to lose, because he had nothing other than his sight. Maybe if we would close our natural eyes and stop looking at everything we had to lose, and we opened our spiritual eyes and understood the only thing we have is Jesus, we would start talking about the only thing that matters. That's why I'm up here doing what I'm doing. I'm encouraging you to consider this Jesus who loves you more than you know. You may be in this place and you say, Chad, I don't know that Jesus. What I can tell you is that Jesus is always the answer. And you say, Chad, that sounds like some big cliche, nutshell answer, everything inside. Listen to me. The miracles I saw in Zim. At the end of my message, I told everyone to close their eyes. And I said, look, God loves you and he knows your need. And I can come and I can lay hands on you, and that's fine. It's not power from me. It's power through me because of my source. I said, but where you sit in this moment, if you believe Jesus is for you, and if you believe that he can touch you right where you sit, just say yes and amen. And a pastor stood up after service, and he came and he said, the moment pastor said that, I thought of the need I had, and I said yes and amen, and I prayed a prayer. And the throbbing pain I've had for months in my right knee disappeared. I can stand, I can jump, I can move. I just want you to understand, being obedient to whatever God sent you to do, that unlocks the full power of what God's doing in your life. And I believe that pastor, if he hadn't come and done the thing God sent him to, he said, I believe God was sending me to this stage to tell you to believe for your next thing. And I thought if that man didn't walk to the stage and finish his sentence, he might have went with knee problems. Jesus can touch you, but are you willing to walk out the next thing he's called you to? Does this make sense? Some of you might think there's theological problems. I'm reading right from the same scripture you are. Sometimes Jesus needs us to understand the process because the future is going to be determined by your process. close your eyes as I finish reading this last scripture. In verse 4, it says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. But night is coming when no one can work. The night's coming. I need you to consider your ways. I need you to consider the reality of the fact that there is a hereafter. And Jesus is the only access point. He's the only door that opens heaven and the eternity that you would hope for. He's the only one that gives us access to God the Father. He's the only one that keeps us from the place where there is no peace, where there's a gnashing of teeth. He's the only answer for life eternal. And so whether you're here or whether you're home streaming right now and you're saying, Pastor Chad, I want to know where I stand with God, then it's simply this. You have to invite Jesus into your hearts, and you've got to ask him to forgive you for what you've done, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Romans tells us.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.